come together and get organized with each other. Surround me with your manpower, cause I was chosen for this hour. Talking about who rules, stop, stop, way who's deep, who don't go, who lie, way who pay, who guru way.
It's time now for Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee. We organize in the white community to build support and solidarity with the African Liberation Movement under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party. And we want to thank the party for giving us this hour each week on uhururadio.com. Today, we have a really excellent program. In the studio is African People's Solidarity Committee Chairwoman Penny Hess. And on the telephone, we have African People's Solidarity Committee, the chair of the Oakland unit of APSC, Wendy Snyder. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru Penny.
Uhuru, everybody. All right. Well, we're going to have a really excellent show today. I'm glad to be able to have Wendy on today. And I just want to say welcome. Thanks, Sandy, for that. And, of course, as always, we want to thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us to have this program every week at 4 o'clock Eastern on uhururadio.com, dealing with the issues of how white people can have a principled relationship to the African community, how we can see the contradictions all around us, that we know that we don't live in a post-racial America, that it's very much of a country divided by colonialism and the colonial reality that African, indigenous, Mexican, and other oppressed peoples face in the United States. So today we have, again, Wendy Snyder from Oakland, California, from APSC. And Oakland has been in the news in the last couple of months because of the police, BART police, which is their subway, their rapid transit in the Bay Area. Police killed Oscar Grant, a 22-year-old African man, on the BART on New Year's Day. And that it was something that was seen all around the world because, luckily, people were, several different passengers were videoing it with their cell phones. And so they weren't able to cover over and put out a story that they usually do, that they always do in this country when it comes to the police killing Africans and Mexican people. It was exposed. It's been on YouTube. It's been on the news. And it's really forced a movement. I think that they haven't been able to slander Oscar Grant in the way that they usually do. And, there's been a very strong movement to force the killer cop to be arrested, to be brought to trial on murder charges. I think it's interesting, first of all, that Wendy emailed out this morning to, to me and to others in the movement. And I think that I wish there was a way that we could put this up on the website, different articles that we use, and I hope we'll be working on that. But she sent out an article about the fact that Messerly, is it Johannes Messerly?
Johannes
Messerly, yes. Who is the BART cop who killed Oscar Grant, is one of the very few in this country killer cops who have ever been given a murder charge. That the fact is that even though a minimum of, this article said 350 people are killed every year by the police, and I'm sure that that is completely underrepresents the truth, because I know the city of Philadelphia alone almost has that many people killed by the police.
Right.
But, that's what they're saying. But even if you took that, it's saying that in the last 15 years, only 6 cases of police murder have ever been brought to trial, and with a total of 13 cops charged with murder. And in those cases, absolutely zero were ever convicted, and almost all were acquitted with their records totally wiped clean. So, it shows the outrage that the state power, as it comes down against the African community, is fully endowed with the ability to commit murder against the African community. It's very clear that it's a policy of police containment against the African population in this country that is about maintaining the colonial control of the whole people, to maintain colonialism, right, in this country, and to make the money that the state and parasitic capitalism makes off of the prison economy and and even the prosecutors and the way that they seize people's homes and people's mothers' homes and cars and everything else on so-called drug charges and that kind of thing, to to use to pay their own salaries. So, you know, it's a very outrageous situation, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But I know there's been quite a bit of response. We've talked about it, I think, a month or so ago on this show with Wendy about the kind of response that's been going on in Oakland and what are the latest developments in the Oscar Grant case. So, Wendy, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. Thank you for having me on the show. And just to update, I think I was last on mid-January, and so things were still sort of unfolding, and now it's been 6 weeks since the murder of Oscar Grant, and just like you're saying, this was, you know, something that couldn't go by unnoticed because of, you know, because it was caught on film by so many people. And just to say that, kind of to go in chronological order, because there's been so much happening, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement had a really powerful, successful march on Martin Luther King Day on January 19th that raised up the interests of the African working class and called for the jailing and prosecution of the BART cop Johannes Messerli, but also called for the prosecution of all the BART cops involved in the murder. And I'll talk about in a minute just what has come out, what came out right after our march, seems like, about the murder of Oscar Grant and the involvement of other officers. The march called for reparations to the family and to all victims of police violence, economic development for the African and oppressed communities in Oakland, and an end to the public policy of police containment, and also for the immediate release of the people arrested, the demonstrators arrested, and also for the founding of an independent police review board with subpoena power. So I just wanted to mention the march because it was really significant. There's been a lot of different actions and different groups in the Bay Area holding demonstrations, actions. And, you know, although I think this is good that there are people in motion and this is not going to be swept under the rug at all, I think that the Impeachment's march was really significant because it did raise up the interests of African working class, which is really what, you know, we have to see as white people, that it is going to be African people themselves that are going to liberate themselves. They are their own liberators, and that this is really what we should be supporting. And the march actually did go through West Oakland and was sort of a historic tour at the same time as being a protest of sites from the Black Power movement of the 60s, but also the Marcus Garvey movement and its significance in Oakland. And that was really powerful, not only for the people on the march, but also for the African community there to be able to, the response from the community was powerful. So going back to the question of the BART police officers involved in the killing of Oscar Grant, I mean, we were clear from the start that this wasn't just Messerli accidentally pulling out a gun instead of a taser. It wasn't just Messerli's, he wasn't the only one responsible. Of course, all the BART cops were responsible. And I'd just like to read a little bit about what has come uncovered, what's been coming out about what happened on New Year's Day. This article from the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, says that the BART police allowed a train full of witnesses to pull out of the Fruitvale station in Oakland early New Year's Day after Messerli shot Oscar Grant, and then made little effort to contact the witnesses as they got off at other stations. Well, actually, just to say it was more than that, they actually went around while, and I think we said this last time, they went around after Grant was killed and collected people's cameras and cell phones and left him to die, left him bleeding on the platform. So, of course, it says that none of the seven officers were involved in this. None of them radioed that an officer-involved shooting had taken place. Of course not. And that a key video that showed another officer on the station platform, and this was Tony Peroni, BART cop Tony Peroni, struck Grant 2 minutes before Grant was shot by Meserly. That this actually was available to BART, but police did not start. I mean, they just mm-hmm. covered it up. They did not start a full investigation into the officer's action until Channel 2 News aired the footage. So what had happened was that this guy, Tony Peroni, who, by the way, very significant, is that he's a former U.S. Marine, or I don't know if you ever become a former U.S. Marine, but he was in the Marines, joined the BART cops, BART police. It says that the video showed that he rushed towards Grant as he and two other men stood by a wall near Peroni's partner and struck him. And 2 minutes later, everybody saw what happened to Grant. So this has come out, and we can see that this is a public policy. It's a full complicity of seven police officers in this case, but it's their policy to protect each other, to back up each other, and to carry out this kind of brutality and murder.
On that. I mean, I think that that's really, really clear. First of all, because what happened to Oscar Grant happens to African men and Mexican men every day, and every killing, except that usually it's in a place where there's not people with cameras. And right. I think that for one thing, it shows how important it is to know how to use the video on your camera. Yes. And to be out there anytime we see something, like we just saw in Oakland the other day, actually, the police arresting young African men. But I thought it was interesting on one of the videos that it showed as well, it seemed to be young people, young Africans, coming up to the police trying to intervene. And obviously then the police just, you know, warded them off or forced them back and probably threatened them with mm-hmm. arrest as it was. And I thought that was that, you know, it was just really clear that the entire crowd was watching, was angry, you know, just what people think about the police. They have no respect for this occupying army that exists in the African community. And that, you know, it's really clear also that they weren't, because of these videos, they were not able to slander Oscar Grant in the way that they can usually do. And I feel that in terms of addressing the white community, that we have to really make the point that this is what happens every time. That this article, even from the San Francisco Chronicle that we were just talking about, completely backs that up. That they have mm-hmm. a license to kill Africans, and they do it, and they can say anything they want, and they can, and they do. They do every time. And they would have this time. It's just that yep. there were people there who could show what actually happened. And, you know, this is the vicious face of the state as it is, revealed to the African and colonized community every single day. And that as white people, we have a responsibility to recognize that the full brunt of the U.S. state is being, you know, waged against, used against the African community with the complicity of all the people who voted in Three Strikes, You're Out, all the people who, you know, unite with the criminalization of the African community day by day. And I hope that we can really speak about that. And I hope you can write about it on your blog. And I know you have some, but I think that we have to really make that point. This is what happens to African people day after day. And in cases where Africans are not murdered, where they're just brutalized or just arrested and sent to prison on three strikes, you're out. And, you know, it's like lock them up, throw away the key, starting from early childhood. And the white community's like, well, they must have committed some crime. But it's, you know, it's the police who are the criminals. It's the police, the face of the
state.
Thank
you. Yes. Thank you for that. I think that's really important because we can't get lost in the details either, you know, about it. And we can't get, pretend that this is some sort of aberration. You know, we have to continually, like you're saying, say that it's something that happens every day. 99% of the time the cameras aren't running and this is going on. And I think there's a way in which all the actions around it, you know, are good, but give people this impression that this is some kind of aberration. And even just to, you know, just to keep going with some of the developments in Oakland, this has created a crisis in the city. And for, you know, for the last, I don't know how many years, the Uhuru movement has been going to city council to speak out about the police killings by Oakland Police Department, which last year killed at a minimum 7 people that we know about, the police department killed. And of course, they always said that it was justified. I mean, it's just like in the article, this article that we're talking about, where none of these officers have faced any kind of consequences.
Right.
And
right.
Yes, sometimes the family they do get settlements, lawyers get paid, but there's no accountability. In fact, most of the police officers are still on the police force. So just on January 27th, the Uhuru movement challenged Mayor Ron Dellums, who is this mayor who's been in office several years, and he is like he was voted in as this champion of liberal progressive causes. He's an African who was a congressman, but he has been absolutely no different than Jerry Brown, who is the California state attorney, in terms of the vicious war on the African community. And so the Uhuru movement did interrupt his State of the City address to challenge the fact that it presides over this war budget, war on the African community, which we found out that the city's general funds, the budget, it's $1 billion budget of general purpose funds, and 40% of that goes to public safety, which is police services. And that's not even counting the overtime. It goes up to like 51% if you count all the overtime that the police department gets to carry out its war on the African community. And 0.5% goes to economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's outrageous. And actually, another thing that happened that precipitated the resignation of the police chief on the very next day, January 28th, was the exposure that he promoted this guy, Edward Paulson. I wonder if he's related to Hank. But anyways, he had promoted this guy to the internal affairs. He was the chief of internal affairs. And this cop had brutally beaten a Mexican man named Jerry Amaro 9 years ago. And it was covered up. And he beat him so badly, he kicked him in the ribs, that Amaro died just days later, did not receive any medical treatment in Santa Rita jail. That's not a surprise, but you know, this is the head of internal affairs that's supposed to be investigating the police. So, I mean, we just have to assume that this kind of brutality is sanctioned at the very
Absolutely.
Top level.
But it is.
So,
it's a public policy. It's a public policy voted in. When it comes to three strikes, you're out. Everything, you know, it's on the ballot, especially in California.
Yes.
And it's voted in, and it's in a myriad of ways. You know, certainly that the kinds of things that let people vote for three strikes, you're out, but also in who people vote for, and it doesn't matter if a politician. Ron Dellums is considered by white people a liberal because he addresses white issues in a liberal way, but he has the same policy, if not even more intense, in terms of carrying out police containment against the African community. He has the same commitment to that as, you know, Ronald Reagan did. It doesn't matter. Right. There's no right. There's no left or right. There's no, progressive or not. It's all the same in terms of the African community. It's a total assumption that this war against the African community is a given and it will be continued.
That's right. And in fact, his response to the killing of Oscar Grant was to have the Oakland police investigate the killing. The killers investigate.
How ridiculous, yeah.
Killers. So...
Say a little bit more about the resignation of the police. I think that the police chief, I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
It shows the crisis that the city is in.
Yeah, so Wayne Tucker was the police chief, and he...
a white
actually,
man.
Actually, the FBI, yes, the FBI was investigating this internal affairs chief that came out that he killed this Mexican man 9 years ago, covered it up. There's also been an investigation around the fabrication of search warrants. And, you know, the news, and I need to follow up on what happened, but they said, the city said that they were firing 11 police officers who falsified search warrants, but you know, I don't know if that's actually happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on Tucker was under the gun for that, and also just the ongoing monitoring. I guess it's not really monitoring, but it's well known that following the Oakland Riders case, which was now almost a decade ago, I believe.
Say a little bit about that, though. That's,
yeah, four really Oakland police officers were exposed as doing the same thing that we're talking about here, brutalizing
mm-hmm.
African people. This was in West Oakland, was their beat, planting evidence, falsifying search warrants.
Beating people, yeah.
Yes.
Intimidation.
All kinds, you know, these kind of things. And the only reason that they were exposed, they call themselves the Oakland Riders, I think, in the same way that, you know, it's like they had this persona of brutality. You know, they were,
mm-hmm.
The only reason they were exposed was because a rookie cop who joined the force blew the whistle on them. And
mm-hmm.
so... they were never charged. I mean, it went through a number of different trial proceedings, but they were acquitted on all accounts. In fact, one officer left the country and has never faced any kind of consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so as a result of the Oakland Riders settlement, where there was a class action suit, again, the victims of this brutality never seen justice and maybe got a little pittance for filing a complaint against the Oakland Riders.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of this settlement, the Oakland police have been under watch, supposedly been watched by the federal government to follow guidelines to clean up, so to speak, clean up their mm-hmm. act. But
right.
We're
ridiculous.
That hasn't changed anything in terms of the policy of police containment.
I mean, we can look at the federal government and all the people who, you know, Obama was bringing into his cabinet that have had to resign for all the various
right.
reasons, and their buddies on Wall Street who are, you know, just taking the bailout money and living a lavish lifestyle and doing Wall Street machinations that come at the expense of colonized people around the world, and blaming African people for the subprime mortgage and saying that that collapsed the economy. I mean, this is what the government represents. These are slimy capitalist dogs that are only about one thing, and that's profit for themselves. And, you know, they will do anything to the African community and to anybody to keep what, you know, their interests at heart. And, you know, so to say that the federal government is, you know, policing the Oakland Police Department is absurd. Look what the federal government is doing in Iraq and Afghanistan and every place else in the world. So, you know.
Yeah, and I just wanted to follow up with some information about this Oakland Writers case, because it is important to talk about. They just so the situation is that the legal battle over the Oakland Writers firings have ended, they say, in the city's favor. This is from an article from the San Jose Mercury News. And basically, it's just saying that Oakland was within its rights to fire two Oakland police officers at the center of the Writers police misconduct scandal in 2000. But they were fired. That was it. The two of the four were fired in 2000, facing allegations of insubordination and acts of police misconduct. They're saying it's over. City Attorney John Russo says, oh, it's over. It's a complete unconditional victory for the people of the city. Bull crap. It's not, that's not, this is still going on. And, it says, Mabanag, Siapno, and two other officers were accused of beating and framing suspects in West Oakland in 2000. None of the officers in question were ever convicted of a crime. So it goes along with what we're saying. You know, they may have been fired. That was it. You know, they got jobs probably with Blackwater or, you know, what's it called now? They changed their name. You know, there's no consequences. Yeah. So that's the most infamous example of the police violence, you know, in Oakland. But it has a long, long history going back to the slave catchers and the Oakland Police Department that precipitated the founding of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in 1966. So that's what we're looking at.
I think we're going to go to a quick break and make a few announcements, and we'll be back with this discussion in a few minutes.
Uhuru, yes, indeed. This is a really excellent discussion. I'm going to go ahead and answer a call that we have coming in, but oops. We do want to let our listeners know about some upcoming events and stuff that's happening, and also to invite you if you have a comment or question. It looked like we had a caller for a moment there, but we lost them. We use Skype at uhururadio.com. The call-in system is through Skype. So if you have Skype installed on your computer, you can call in to the Uhuru Radio Skype ID. That's Uhuru Radio. Also, you can email comments or questions to dj@uhururadio.com, and you can phone in if you'd like to. If you have a comment or question regarding the police murder of Oscar Grant and the campaign to push back the U.S. government counterinsurgency war, the policy of police containment that is striking down Africans across the country, and you have comment on that or question on that or how you can get involved, please call us. The number in the U.S. is 727-565-1599, 727-565-1599. If you're listening from the UK, you can phone. Of course, that's country code 44-020-8133-6629. And I want to, Chairwoman Hess had mentioned Comrade Wendy's blog, and I want to encourage listeners to subscribe to that blog so you'll get updates as they come out. It's been an excellent coverage of what's been happening in Oakland. You can find that at uhurusolidarityoakland.blogspot.com and go there and check out Comrade Wendy's blog. It's really excellent, really informative about the struggles that we're discussing today. And we want to really encourage our listeners to get involved. What you're hearing is how we can take a stand from the white community, how we can understand what's happening to African people and the struggle that African people are making for self-determination and to fight for their democratic rights, and we can take a stand from the white community. If you can, from anywhere you're listening in the country or the world, there's something that you can do, so contact us. And if you are in the Philadelphia area on Thursday, February 26th, you are invited to attend a People's Town Hall meeting organized by the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. It's going to take place Thursday, February 26th at 7 p.m. at the Songhai City Cultural Center, and that is open to the public 7 p.m. And if you're in the Oakland area, of course, you can contact Wendy. Go to our website, uhurusolidarity.org, and contact the organization there in Oakland to see how you can get involved in the Campaign for Justice for Oscar Grant, in the fundraising work to support the Uhuru Movement. They have a booth every Saturday at the Grand Lake Farmers Market. And also here in St. Petersburg, we have a booth every Saturday raising funds, selling food, raising money to support the Uhuru Movement. One more announcement that we want to share with you. We really want to encourage all the listeners of Uhuru Solidarity, of Solidarity Not Charity, to support the campaign to free Ajamu Bandalay. And we have a promo here that was recorded at uhururadio.com to give you a little background on that if you're not familiar with it. As an MPDEM leader in York, Pennsylvania, who's being framed up, and MPDEM is raising funds for his legal defense. So listen up and support this campaign.
Uhuru comrades, allies, and friends, now is the time to seize a victory for the African community. The International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement is calling on you to participate and contribute to the campaign to free Comrade Ajamu Bandalay, a.k.a. Orlando Gibson, the local president of the York PA branch of MPDEM. On October 29, 2008, Comrade Ajamu was set up on charges that threatened to prevent him from organizing on the streets for 2 to 4 years. MPDEM's goal to raise $5,000 for Comrade Ajamu's legal defense has almost been reached. We have only $1,600 left to raise by February 19th, so jump in now with your donation. Your donation represents your unity with African people's right to self-determination. We have a responsibility to defend our comrade. We can win. Touch one, touch all. Donate now to the Defense Committee to free Ajamu Bandalay. Make checks payable to MPDEM, care of Ajamu Bandalay, and mail to 1245 18th Avenue South, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. Again, that's 1245 18th Avenue South, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. Also participate in mobilizations to free Ajamu Bandalay. Attend the pre-trial demonstration on Thursday, February 19th at 8 a.m. in front of the York County Courthouse. For more information, call 215-500-0555. Again, that's 215-500-0555. Or go to www.inpdum.org. That's www.npdum.org.
Indeed, we want to encourage our listeners to go to npdum.org and support the campaign to free Ajamu Bandalay. And now we're going to return to our discussion on the Campaign for Justice for Oscar Grant. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you for those Uhuru. Announcements, Sandy. And welcome back with Wendy Snyder out in Oakland, California. We're discussing the case of Oscar Grant, killed, 22 years old, killed by BART police on New Year's Day, but also the deeper implications of this whole war against the African community that's going on. I just wanted to say a little bit, you know, before we go back into talking to Wendy about the, you know, the fact that Oakland, the Bay Area, is known for being quote, progressive, known for being a place that white people can go if they're gay, lesbian, transgender, you know, or if they're environmentalists, or if they are, you know, disabled or alternatively abled, I think is the way people say it. And that there's a place for people. There's the ability to have a movement around that. There's all kinds of laws that the cities of Oakland and Berkeley come out with in terms of justice and human rights for people. There's stands that even the city takes against wars sometimes, or, you know, maybe sometimes in support of the Palestinian people. I mean, it can be very, very, very progressive. But the thing that is never discussed in a real comprehensive way, except by the Uhuru movement, is the conditions that African people have to live in the Oakland Bay area. This police violence, the police murder, the constant criminalization of the African community. It's taken for granted that, you know, children will be arrested and sent to prison, into the juvenile halls, which is prisons for children there, which is, California has quite a big system on that. Foster care, which takes African children away and sometimes, you know, puts it into white homes, and the people make money off the children. It's a business. I mean, there's no kind of outcry about that. And I think that why, you know, in the Uhuru movement, we absolutely unite with the rights of people, including white people, to be able to express themselves and their sexuality, that we believe that people who cannot move about physically in the same way as the general population have a right to have sidewalks with, you know, that accommodate wheelchairs, and we think that destruction against the environment must stop. But to you know, just be able to talk about and gain real rights, real concessions from the state, and even a political economy that a lot of people can live off of, without doing, you know, raising a finger around this colonial violence, this Iraq, this Palestine, these conditions that exist right there in Berkeley, in Oakland, in the huge sectors of Oakland, being able to look at the income gap, the you know, the education gap, everything, the way the police are there constantly harassing young African people who are criminalized and sent to prison at just unbelievable rates, is, you know, that's a crime. And we can say that we don't want our rights at the expense of the African community. That's just another way of, you know, white rights. It's just saying now, okay, I'm gay, so I'm going to jump up on the pedestal and be part of colonizing and exploiting everybody else on the planet Earth. And that's not what we want. That's not, you know, a situation that's going to change the world. What we want to be is part of a world where, you know, there are no colonizers, there are no oppressors, there are no oppressed. And that begins with recognizing that we live in a system that's built on slavery, it's built on genocide, it's built on colonialism around the world. So if we want to be part of changing the world, then we have to say that even if we're oppressed, we're still sitting on the pedestal of the oppression of other people, of the exploitation, of colonization, of, you know, this is the land of the indigenous people, this is the land where African people have been forced into a colonial existence after a couple hundred years of being, you know, just completely enslaved. And so the answer is to stand in solidarity with the liberation struggle of African people and people around the world. And that's what we represent in the African People's Solidarity Committee. You know, and I just think that's a really key understanding. It's not all equal. White people have gotten huge ability to live our lives, to deal with our contradictions, but it's been at the expense of African people and everybody else on the planet. And just wondered if you wanted to comment on that, Wendy.
Yeah, Uhuru, that was beautifully put. I think that what we see in this area, in the San Francisco Bay Area, is exactly that. I mean, people do come here, and I'm speaking, you know, about white people, but there are all kinds of different peoples who come here to the Bay Area. And as white people, we can come looking for, you know, we might be from a more isolated white community in the Midwest or in upstate New York or wherever, and we might come to the Bay Area looking for kind of so-called diversity, looking for some kind of way to plug into a struggle for justice. But if we're not conscious of this reality of being on the pedestal as white people, then we can just, you know, we can, you know, opportunistically or just blatantly, you know, go about joining organization or being part of this sort of lifestyle on the pedestal that enables, you know, us to have a better life while African and Mexican people are catching hell, and it doesn't address the fundamental contradiction what you were mentioning of this being a colonial relationship. And you know, but I do feel that there are white people that really want to understand that. They know there's something wrong when they go join,
absolutely,
you know, a group that might be for food justice or environmental justice, and they see white people talking about racism, or they see the conditions that African and Mexican people face in housing and with regards to the police, and they don't see that, you know, they see white people speaking, you know, to that and for these communities, and I think they can, you know, honest people can see that there is something wrong with that, you know, if they truly want to see environmental justice or truly want to see a situation where we have healthy access to healthy food in all communities, that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be African working class people leading their own struggle to challenge every single aspect of their lives that, you know, they're facing colonial oppression, they're facing war on their communities, and that it can't just be something that's extracted from that for white people to get some jobs or to have some kind of charity set up. And then, you know, I think that there are people, you know, there are honest white people that are looking for, that want to be a part of something that is going to overturn this whole thing. And that's really what we're finding too. We're meeting people who have read Malcolm X or have, you know, they come to this area not just to have access to all the different cultures or, you know, or have a life that is better, certainly, you know, less isolated from other peoples on the planet, but they actually come to this area, you know, seeking something that they must feel has to exist, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that you addressed that, because I think, you know, there is this phenomenon. We meet all kinds of people, and oftentimes we meet, you know, it's before people have really gotten into their little niche, you know, that we meet them and they can really hear this analysis. But I think more and more there are groups out there even who kind of see their own limitations, and we just saw that recently with several groups who I think there's a real potential for these groups to see that they need to be a part of a larger movement that is led by African people that's going to solve everybody's problems.
Exactly.
So,
well, just to say, there's so much more we could be talking about, Wendy, and everybody that's listening. I hope we could have a whole show on it actually coming up, because there's this issue of the economic crisis in California that is one of the reasons that judges just ruled that up to 60,000 inmates in the California prison system have to be released. And there's so much that we could say about that, because it's saying in this article that what they're saying is, because of the overcrowding, one person a week dies of lack of medical care in the prisons. And again, you know, and then there's a really interesting article that is sort of in response to that from the Oakland Tribune, saying how the city of Oakland is furious that all of these prisoners are going to be sent to, you know, sent here to Oakland, being released, and it's kind of almost like they're accusing the state government of, quote, dismantling the local government. So it's a mm-hmm. it's a pretty serious struggle that they're in. But when you look at it, and this includes, they're talking about hundreds of juveniles. It's horrible. I mean, but we have to look at the reality, you know, that first of all, that Africans and Mexicans make up the majority of the California prison system, which is the second or the third largest in the entire world. And that, they're being sent there for the same thing that killed Oscar Grant, is what is sending thousands and thousands and thousands, 160,000 people into the California prisons, which is big business. And the fact that they're going to release Africans onto the street, including children, which is a good thing because they're colonial hostages, but they're going to release them into a situation by the thousands in which they go to a community with no jobs, no housing, nothing. And, you know, that's why, of course, the African movement, the African liberation movement is building. And anyway, I would like to really get into this in depth and talk about it on another show, but I want to make sure that you have time, Wendy, to talk about what the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement in Oakland is building, how white people can hook up, and what it is that we can do. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So, the immediate thing that we're building for is an event hosting Chairman Omali Yeshitela of the African People's Socialist Party, founder of the Uhuru Movement. He will be in Oakland speaking at an event 2 weeks from today, Sunday, March 1st, and that's going to be from 2 to 4 at the Uhuru House. He's going to be speaking on U.S. war, economy and crisis, and police terror against the African community. And we really want to get people to participate in coming out, but also in getting your organization, your friends, your neighbors, your families to come out, spread the word. And there's actually a meeting at the Uhuru House today at 4 o'clock Pacific time at 7911 MacArthur Boulevard in Oakland.
So that's going to be March 1st, mm-hmm. Sunday, March 1st, at 2 o'clock at the Uhuru House in Oakland, California. And people can see more information about that on Facebook. Could you give that information?
Yeah, so you can find INPDUM, INPDUM Oakland on Facebook. You can also call the Uhuru House at 510-569-9620. But there is an INPDUM Oakland Facebook that has all the information as well. You can email us at oakland@uhurusolidarity.org.
And you are going to post that on the Uhuru Solidarity blog, all the info for that.
Yes. So we really want people to come and hear the analysis of the Uhuru Movement of African Internationalism and understand that this is what, you know, we want people to join and participate in a long-term strategy. Following the meeting that's open, there is, just to say, there is an African community organizing meeting This is a meeting calling on African people to build the African Liberation Day and African Socialist International, and that's going to be happening on Sunday, March 1st at the Uhuru House at from 4:30 to 7. So just because I know that African people are listening to this show, I think it's important for us to put that out, that will be also with Chairman Omali Yeshitela. But the open session to the events of the day is from 2 to 4 on March 1st. So.
Excellent. So, okay, well, any other things? Next meeting of Uhuru Solidarity Movement or...
We are having a meeting of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement on next Sunday. It's going to be 11 to 1, and it's going to be a joint meeting with Uhuru Foods. And I want to give the phone number for that is 510-625-1106. It will be a meeting at a conference to build Uhuru Solidarity Movement and also Uhuru Foods.
Excellent. So, great. Well, anything else you want to say, just wrapping it up, Wendy?
I just really appreciate being on the program. I want to encourage people in our area, which includes the whole entire West Coast, I believe, at this point, mm-hmm. To get in touch with us. Email oakland@uhurusolidarity.org. And we want to... bring the analysis, the theory, the understandings from the Uhuru movement to you wherever you are, and get you organized. Join Uhuru Solidarity Movement, $25 a year, and really connect up with this stand for a real future on the planet. So, Uhuru.
Uhuru, Wendy.
Uhuru.
All right. Well, that
excellent program, Penny. Uhuru. And that concludes this week's broadcast. Well, we're coming to the end of this week's broadcast of Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com. Really appreciate you listening today. And we want to encourage, if any of the listeners have not, or perhaps you're not aware, or perhaps you have not yet had the opportunity to subscribe to uhururadio.com, there was an excellent presentation that was on Omali Yeshitela Speaks earlier today, that Chairman Omali, Chairman of the African People's Socialist Party and leader of the Uhuru Movement, a presentation that he had made at the 2006 Conference of the African Socialist International in London, England. And if you missed that or any of the other presentations by Omali Yeshitela, you can download them, have unlimited access to downloading those speeches by becoming a subscriber to uhururadio.com, a paying subscriber for a minimum of $10 pledge per month. You will gain unlimited access to those downloads. So you can go to uhururadio.com, click on the subscribe, donate link, and fill in your information and put how much you have to how much you want to donate. You don't have to limit it to $10 a month. You could do $50 a month or $100 a month or $1,000 a month. It is the best place to put your money since this economy is crashing down anyway. There's no sense in putting it in the bank. So invest where it's going to make a difference and support uhururadio.com. So thank you again for listening. Tell your friends. Tune in again next Sunday for all-day broadcast of Uhuru Radio. If you're not going to be near your computer, remember you can listen over your telephone. Call on the U.S. All the numbers are on the Uhuru Radio website. In the U.S. it's 515-489-1670. There are also call-to-listen phone numbers in the U.K. and in South Africa. There's a couple of numbers in the U.S., and they have some limitation for the number of listeners, so if you've tried one of them and it didn't start up the radio broadcast, try the other one, because between the two, one of them is going to be working. So tune in again next Sunday. We thank you for listening to uhururadio.com. This concludes the broadcast day. Uhuru.